I find actually the manifesting generator to be one of my most challenging relationships because there's something about them that I relate to and recognize. They have this initiatory thing about them. But with generators and projectors, I can almost like present things to the field where if we look at it a certain way, I'm telling you what to do. You know, I'm not doing that, but I'm informing what's going to happen and here's what we're going to do. And the generator will go, mm-hmm. And the projector will go, I feel seen. Great. Love that. But the manifesting generator, I literally have to talk to them differently because you can't tell them what to do. You can't really be direct in the same way. So I treat them, the way I speak and connect with an MG is how I would a manifester.
These are practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout. Just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
On this season of Each Other, we've been talking a lot about different energy centers, and something that's come up, something that I've noticed is we all get a little bit egotistical about, well, I have this center and it's better. That one's, when it's defined, it sucks. When that one's undefined, ooh, that's great. Like it depends on what we have. It's brought up a lot of dialogue about like the energy exchanges between ourselves and somebody else and the balance there of like, who's giving more energy, who's giving less. Who has emotional strength and resilience, who perhaps does not, and mental strength and resilience, and who does not, or whatever, what have you. And we've been kind of getting into these little side discussions about having awareness in relationships, bringing balance to that relationship, whether opposites attract or how you can kind of be in these complementary relationships. So AC, what is an example of a relationship you were in that was either really balanced in the exchanges or really out of balance in the exchanges?
We don't have enough time to talk about that.
Balanced or unbalanced?
Oh, gosh, probably unbalanced.
Okay, because that's a Valleys person. The exchange you're going to have a relationship with, right? And plugging into people.
I mean, I experience more balance than anything, to be honest with you. I'm very selective on who I share my energy with nowadays.
Yeah.
But I've always been like that. I would say having a good energy exchange is really important. I feel the best thing for myself and other people is when you know that it's not balanced or aligned is to get out of it quickly.
Okay, well then let's take a minute then. Let's pluck a key character in each of our lives. Let's take a parent. Okay, pick whatever parent and think about your dynamic exchanging with that parent and just what you notice about how the two of you interact. And hopefully you know a little bit about whatever their definition or design type is, but how do you, like Rachel, I know you've said in the past, like your dad has a defined head. I think your mom maybe has an undefined head. There are some emotional people in your family. What do you notice about pick one of your parents, like the dynamic between the two of you?
Yeah, I could talk about both of my parents because they're very different. So my dad and I have a very similar design, and it kind of makes sense because genetically we're just kind of, we have the same like composition. We look a lot of light, but we just have the same sort of body and health and all of that. And we've noticed, like we took a road trip together a couple of years ago, and we noticed that I think we're both channel 515. Like we just were in the same little rhythm. Like we were just like these two little like trundling along, like both kind of slow. And we like wanted iced coffee at the same time every day. And we just like ate like, and it was like at one point he was just like, it's just like too easy to be around you. Like I think it's just a very similar energy. Whereas my mom,
ping ponging generators, hey, like they can ping pong back and forth to each other. Very natural.
Yeah. We were just like rolling down the river. Then my mom is very different. She is also a generator, but she has very little definition. She only has spleen and sacral. And I really noticed myself, and this is probably kind of what my dad was reflecting on too, because I think he's kind of comparing his experience with her, because, or with me with her, because that's usually who he's traveling with, is I definitely go into like leader mode, like define G center. Like I always drive. I always decide what we're doing. Like I'm just a faster decision maker. So it's, yeah, just a very different dynamic, I guess. And not bad, like better or worse, just different.
Yeah. I noticed with my mom, she's a generator as well. She can do so much. Like I remember being a kid and like my mom would get an idea with her undefined head and she'd be like, I'm building a closet in the basement because we need more storage. And then she would figure it out. She's a 1-3. And then she would go and build it and she would then organize the whole basement after because she built this new thing and she's excited about this new thing. So now she's going to hang up all this stuff and organize it all. And I would get so exhausted. Like I would try and like do it with her. Like me and my mom would get into these bursts where we'd like paint the whole house together. We'll paint this whole thing. And she could really do it. Like she had so much energy. And then I had like the ego drive. And I noticed I can really encourage my mom. Like she really yeah. can get kind of not down, but she doesn't always say nice things about herself. Or she's like, all of a sudden I'm like, you're fucking belittling yourself. No, none of that. So in the dynamic with my mom, I noticed my sister and I both have defined hearts. And I noticed that that's a big one that comes online. We definitely encourage her. But now that we've gotten a little bit older and we have undefined solar plexuses, my mom is the emotional generator in her house. I noticed my sister and I will kind of we're both on the roof as well, but we almost detach from my mom and observe her go through her waves. Mm-hmm. And we discuss it together, like how to support her or something, or how to deal with that or manage that. Whereas my mom is just in the wave. And when we were little kids, I think we would also get lost in her wave when we didn't have all that awareness. Like my mom was somebody who would get emotional and now like the whole house has to be upset in order for her emotions to be validated or something, which is not the case now. But when we were little, it was definitely like that. And I think also the centers that I'm focusing on are all motors as well, just because I noticed the motor has kind of like a big energy. Ace, now with everything that we've kind of talked about with parents, did anything come to mind about some of your dynamic with either of your parents?
Yes, they're both annoying. They got on my nerves. But both of my parents come from very big families. So my dad's one of six. My mom is one of eight. And on both sides of my family, I'm the only child. So everyone on both sides of my family has a brother or sister. So my dynamic with all of my family is different. Because
and you have a totally open G, so that's interesting. Yeah.
So there's always been I can tolerate you for a certain while, and then I have to go off and retreat and like regain my own personal identity, my personal autonomy, relax. Like it's too much energy just in general.
Yeah. I really notice a defined root. Interestingly, I think I can get really pressured by a defined root. But the teaching I take most from defined roots, my kid is one as well. They set the timing in this way. Like it doesn't, the world won't end if this doesn't get done right now. Sure like won't. Sometimes I'm trying to rush my kid and he will not. And it psychs me out. Like it's like,
it will not.
Please just go, just run down the stairs instead of walk. It would literally just make me feel better. Exactly. Like it's for silly. What? I'll get there when I get there. And I'm
for
like,
what?
It's because you're right. I said so. Yeah.
Literally just to appease my stress, please. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Jasmine, what are some examples that come to mind for you?
Well, I didn't grow up with my dad, so I don't know anything about his chart, but my mom has eight defined centers. The only thing she has open is her ID center. And then I have my head, my emotions, and my root undefined. So I was in a freaking pressure cooker all the time with her. Like, always. That's how it felt, you know, but I think that it's strange because for as formidable as her energy was, she always had this like feeling or sense of like, do I belong here? Is this my spot? Like, is this my, you know, like always like kind of like I always think of it as like a searchlight, like where do I belong? Like what's going on? And I never had that feeling. And so I think when we're together, she feels really good around me in that way. But I think that she also feels like just by her behavior, it always seems like she kind of feels like because that's her only spot to be conditioned, that it's annoying to her.
Yeah.
That I do know, but like, I'm like, oh no, this is just me. This is just who I am. This is just like, that's my language is always like that with her. And it's, yeah. She's always kind of like, well, how do you know? You know, and she's always like kind of my whole life been like, you never ask for advice. Like you don't, like you'll just come to me and tell me when you're already doing something or you already know something or you're already, it's already done. Like you don't ever want advice. You just think you know everything. Or you, I'm like, oh, I mean, I kind of do. Like I don't really need your advice.
This might be a funny question, but is she triggered by you?
My mom, I think she is a little bit. I think I annoy her. Yeah. I do think I annoy her. Yeah. Because she's her, you know, she has an emotional, I don't even know what her waves are. I think she has more than one. And she can be like dense, you know, mm-hmm. like it's like this opaque energy that's very like you got to kind of get her going, you know? And she needs a lot of energy from others. I think she's a triple split too. So she needs to like plug in all over the place. And I plug in like my chart, like with everyone I know, like everyone in my family bridges all their stuff.
Yeah.
I bridge everybody. I bridge all three of my kids. I bridge my mom. I bridged all my boyfriends, like completely, like made them like, and so I think that is annoying to them. Like, I don't think that they like it all the time. Like, I like it a little bit, but I like stop doing something to me.
Kind of it sounds like our families really are like the training ground for us to start to learn energy dynamics and energy exchanges and how these things work. Mm-hmm. Now, thinking of that, Jasmine, you've got three kids at home. Like, what's the difference that you notice? And they're each a different design type. What is the difference of the dynamic there and how they plug into you with everything that you know now? Knowing that the home life is like kind of like the training ground for us.
I mean, we're kind of, this really, even though they're all different designs, like everybody has a defined ID center, G center. Everybody has an open head and only Charlie has defined emotions.
And she's a manifester.
And she's a manifester. And I'll tell you what, the weather does shift. Like if she's like on something, like everybody in here she'll be fine.
An emotional manifester. Like,
what's happening?
Is yeah, a like, breed. That's a breed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what the fuck is going on? And, but we just leave her be. I mean, she just does her. I think it's interesting to like raise your kids in a way where they're growing up, like living their design, kind of at least at our house, you know? So I'm just like, okay, well you just go over there and do your thing. I'll leave you alone. Every now and again, I get kind of bully, like MG bully. I'm the only defined heart too. So really at the end of the day, like I have a good chart to be a parent to these people because I'm like, what I say goes, you know, like this is like, if my heart's in it, like then we're all doing it. I will say that like they draft off of me a lot in terms of like my ego energy. Like nobody around here has a lot of natural get up and go, you know, like nobody's going to really like get after it. Like nobody's cleaning anything. Nobody's painting, but I'm like your mom. Like, I'm like, okay, today we're going to do this. We're reorganizing the entire house and I can get it done in like 6 hours.
Oh, that was so my mom.
And they just watch me. They're like, what are you doing? Like, why? You're crazy. You're literally a crazy person right now. And I'm like, dump everything out.
Yeah.
We're having a yard sale.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's that manifesting energy. Hey, just pops
today's
up
the day.
Like
yeah. And I kind of have to like get on one to do it. Like I could just ignore everything forever. And then one day I just go, boom, we're doing it. It's all fixed right now. And then I'm very satisfied at the end of the day.
So what's everyone's perspective then? Like the family members we don't choose. And that's kind of like who we're training with, who we're learning with, whether we're aware or not. But when it comes to the partner, we're selecting that person in a way. And like, do opposites attract? Do same, same? What do you guys think about this in terms of energy exchanges? What do you like? And what can you look to in people you've been with in the past if you happen to know their design? It's on the floor. Whoever wants it.
No one wants it.
Well, I'll start.
Give her.
You know, I like a 6'2".
Yes.
Track record here.
AC tends to date 6'2s, just for anybody.
Yeah, I tend to date 6'2s.
So do I.
I mean, yeah. Hey, love that for you guys.
I would prefer generator. The manifesting
love a generator.
Generator is just...
Oh, I love a sacral. I just want to say that. I love a sacral.
Oh, gosh, it's just for a man, it's just not my vibe.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's just
Jasmine's so mad.
Rude. No, I love you, Jasmine, but manifesting generator men, it's a hit or miss. I personally haven't met one romantically where, and see, I'm not blanket stating it. I don't know. Maybe there is one that
you
is
don't
going
know,
to be.
AZ.
I don't know
anything. Undefined object.
There may be one that will sweep me off my feet and be completely different than the rest. But as of today, they're just not, we just don't, I don't.
Maybe you don't find yourself very compatible.
I wouldn't even say compatible.
Can I tell you why?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Because a manifesting generator is not like dating a projector. I don't know. I don't know how it could happen. It would not be good. Like it is
why,
not
guys,
like
what is it? MG and projector.
Why wouldn't
this?
It? Why wouldn't it be good?
Because y'all. No, not all. Hashtag not all projectors.
Not all projectors. But not all manifesting generators.
But not. You're right. We will not make blanket statements. But I will say this: I have a lot of projectors in my life, and they like to tell me what to do, and I don't want anybody to know what to do.
I don't
want to
be told what. I don't like to tell anybody what to do, especially when I'm with a man.
But you will, because that's just your pet trading little aura.
No,
it's gonna do.
I don't.
It.
I've learned to not do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I want. And forgive me for the old school people, or for the new age people. I like to be submissive in a relationship. If I'm with a man, I do not want to have to think at all. If you make me think, then there is a problem. I don't want to think.
Okay. Well.
I find actually the manifesting generator to be one of my most challenging relationships because there's something about them that I relate to and recognize. They have this initiatory thing about them. But with generators and projectors, I can almost like present things to the field where if we look at it a certain way, I'm telling you what to do. You know, I'm not doing that, but I'm informing what's going to happen and here's what we're going to do. And the generator will go, mm-hmm. And the projector will go, I feel seen. Great. Love that. But the manifesting generator, I literally have to talk to them differently because you can't tell them what to do. You can't really be direct in the same way. So I treat them, the way I speak and connect with an MG is how I would a manifester. And
yeah,
I never kind of ask questions like that. I kind of talk to them because the way I speak to a manifester is actually quite different. You're kind of just both presenting things to the field and letting the other pick it up or not. And when I do that with the MG, I notice they will either go, and get a big response to something and then go off with it, like pluck it up from the field. But you kind of have to leave it there for them if they want to get it. Whereas the generator or projector, you could really give it to them in a way. But the MG has to, they really are the hybrid. They really have a different way of existing and navigating. Yes, they're in response, but it's not like a generator. I find personally the dynamic with the manifester and generator a little bit more effortless than the MG and manifester, because in earlier phases, I treated the MG more like a generator. And I would say now I kind of, and it depends on the MG, of course, but I treat them more like a manifester because for whatever reason, it seems easier for me in navigating with them. Otherwise they're always like, no. And I've actually done it with Jasmine a few times where I notice I would call it mistreating her because I know better and I'm behaving the way I would with, let's say, another design type. And she goes, no,
Vanessa has never mistreated me.
But okay, maybe it was an aggressive word, but like, yeah, you'll reject things. So if I don't present it to the field, but I presented it to you, you'll reject it. But if it's like,
if I don't want to do it, I'll reject it.
But you never want to do it if I present it to you wrong. That's what I'm saying. Whereas like a generator, okay, yeah, you can be like, this is so great on you. And the generator's like, but there is just a difference in engaging with the MG. And it took me more time to learn how to best support the MG than it did the other types.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're a little bit tricky. I think we're a little tricky situation.
Your energy is very unique in that you're a responder, but you also, once you respond to something, boom, you're gone. And you do need to kind of come up with things on your own sometimes. Like that's what I mean. If they're too much told what to do, they behave more like a manifester, like don't, like, you know, where,
yeah,
like, and that's, it. With the channel of charisma, because some MGs don't have the channel charisma and they're really more like generators, you know, so it depends on the MG, but an MG with the channel of charisma can just be, you know, there's so much debate, like with like, there's four types and there's a hybrid. Don't say there's five types. And we hear that a lot, but in my experience, the MG is just a totally different creature. And
very different.
They are like, they're just, they are their own thing, you know? And I think because they're a unique mixture, which makes a new thing altogether, they're trickier to learn how to support, I think, for me personally.
I agree. And I've heard most people say that.
Really? Hey?
Yeah. And even though like I'm married to one, and I think I am attracted to MG men in general, like a lot of people I've dated have been MGs, but it doesn't have that same cozy, natural feeling as being with another generator. But I think I actually prefer it's more interesting to be with an MG. Like, it's just more dynamic, and being with a generator for me can be a little bit boring because generators can get in our little, like,
oh, I love a generator
thing where we just get maybe a little stuck in a rut or something. If there's two generators, it can be really cozy, but it can also be like a rut. And with an MG, yeah, it is. It's kind of, yeah, you can't really tell them what to do, but you can kind of lull them into doing it. Just don't say it straight.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You just nailed it. Just lull me into it. I'm so agreeable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really am agreeable until someone says, well, you need to. And then I'm like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. My kids tell me what I need to do. Like, you, and I don't care what you could be telling me. Like, I really do need to do that. And it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not doing it 100% not doing it.
Yeah.
I've had like, my last two big relationships were both generators, and I think I annoy them. You know, I think my, like, I think they appreciate the fact that I can like pivot and turn, and I can, because that is to me the greatest quality of an MG, is that we can just be like, oh, change the plan. No problem. Like, I'm going, like,
oh yeah,
I can just, I can think on my feet. I'm never really, really attached to an outcome. Like, if it's going to, oh, that just got weird, and that's like, okay. Like, that's part of it. Like, that's fun to me. Never upset or like too stuck in any kind of the way it has to be. But I think also the flip side of that is like, I'm not really stuck in anything, you know, like I'm kind of like, you know, okay, sure. I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess we can do that. So trying to like nail me down to make plans or like future think, or like, you know, like when I was married to Mike, he's an MG, and we just could never really get any, we couldn't get shit together. It was all we could do, because the other thing was that we both have the 3420, we both are like, oh wait, now we have all these kids and they require all of this stuff, and we don't, who's going to do it? Like, I don't, I mean, I'm doing my own autonomous thing, and you're doing your autonomous thing.
You're so busy. That's the challenge with that 3420.
And our bodies are fast movers. Like, I mean, but it was kind of cool though. I will tell you, he's the only man that I've ever met that like physically, like we were like two trains on a track.
Yeah.
We hardly ever like got together, but like,
right.
We,
I was going to say that,
We could really, really work together. Like we, I've never worked with, he and I bartended together. We started a restaurant together. Like we could, our work genius was amazing. And I watch him like now with his partner, and they're business partners, and she's a projector and he's an MG, and she just fucking, I never told that dude what to do. Ever. Like I'd watch him and I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe like steer you back over here, like you're getting off track or whatever. But she is like, here's your list and here's your stuff, and you're off the plan, and you're blah 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 blah. And he's just like
projector.
Jesus Christ. But
wasn't that also hard though?
The most successful that he's ever been. So, you know, it works.
Well, only if they listen. That's the problem. You gotta find MG that listens.
Yeah, he is an MG that listens, and he, I think that dynamic because he's also like, he's like a suggestible person, like in that regard, like he listens to her and she's guiding and directing him in a way that's okay with him. It would not be okay for me. I would not like
that. I don't, if I find a manifesting generator that listens, then I'm all for it. But my question for you, Jasmine, is that is
wait, it's not if they listen, it's the way you talk to them. It's on you.
I am
I don't doubt that you're a great communicator and everything, but when it's like, no, it's the Jenner, it's the MG. No, they better listen.
No,
you better figure out a way to connect so they can hear you, you know?
Although Vanessa, you did say the best way to support an MG. And my immediate thought was like, I don't need support. Like, isn't that funny?
Well,
I'm like, no, thank you. Do not support
I don't
me.
Think the MG gets stuck like the generator does. Like the generator gets more stuck or something. But the MG will get the spins and then they're like making a big hole, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So much energy.
Like, if your car's like, yeah, your car's in park and you're just going for it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel so much. I think I can't speak for every manifester, but in the manifester community, there is a theme, and I've definitely felt it, where we have envy toward the MG because it's like, you feel familiar. What is that? You feel familiar, but you're different. You got a different kind of power there. And then we can see you kind of, you don't have a repelling aura. And that's what we're really jealous of, but we can see that you can behave in a familiar way, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And so we like that. I tend to be very attracted to MGs personally.
Just not in a relationship. What was your question, AC?
Yes, AC, sorry.
My question, like I said, I do talk to people very nicely. I talk to people nice.
She's nice.
And kind, yeah. And compassionate.
She's compassionate.
And all of that. But like Jasmine said, like that backlash, it's like, okay, once I get that backlash one time, I'm good. I'm not going to do it again. But my question was, I always am confused, honestly, about two manifesting generators being together. Because like you said, you were on the same path as far as work was concerned and like running the household. But in my experience seeing manifesting generators, they wind up getting divorced or breaking up because they miss the emotional connection there. It's like a machine that runs, but then it's like, who is this person who I'm next to? And I just found that always kind of really sad. Not in a woe is you all, but it works so well. But like I said, I know a few manifesting generator couples who will be together for 5-10 years. And then they're just like, oh, I don't really love you, or there's no emotional connection here, but we run the household together. And I always just found that weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think it can happen. I mean, the one thing about MGs is like when the energy's not there anymore, like it's like not there, you know, like it's like gone. Like I can't like make myself do this, you know, like, so yeah, I would say though, the love for that in that relationship was there literally until it wasn't. Like, it wasn't like I was just like trucking along forever, you know, going, oh, I don't really like this. Like literally one day I was like, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And then I didn't. So I think the fast pivot like works. And I think MGs can really love each other. I think that somebody has to probably slow down and say, hey, look at me, you know, like I'm here. And I also think like, and I don't know if I made this up, but I think there's one channel, maybe you guys can tell me, that's like the, like can be like the busiest. Is it the 3420? That's like the busiest.
Yeah.
The busiest channel. And it can also be like asexual, because you just get busy and super hyper focused doing what you're doing. That is the thing. Like, you can't both have that going on at the same time.
Yeah.
If you have two with 3420, and that's Mike and I both have that, and we can just become, I mean, the level of productivity that Mike and I had, like my mom would come to our house and be like, you two are nuts. Like, you have not stopped moving. Like, we're just on our feet, like getting everything done. And then you just lay down in bed at night and you're like, go to sleep. We also ate a lot together.
In terms of like energy exchange, I like when the types are different, like two manifestors, you know, two projector, actually, you know, two projectors can get bitter when they're not recognizing each other, and two manifestors, the rage in that relationship, sometimes it can be intense. Two generators, I don't think is as, you know, that's more common. You see that more.
It's not like that volatile. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like when it mixes. I like when it mixes all up.
Two dissatisfied generators.
Oh, God. That's like watching paint dry.
Good point.
That is horrible.
And it's like hard to get out of for them. You know, like they're
stuck and miserable
for years and years. I don't like two projectors. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, I've seen some interesting. I've seen inside some relationships.
My projector friends, amazing.
Yeah,
but me dating a projector man, I have projector male friends, but dating them, I'd be like, what? No,
I wonder.
And you know, we've been talking really heavy, like about the design types. I don't have really many bias. Like there's nobody I wouldn't date because they're design type or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Me neither.
But I was thinking about this more from like definition, like which centers you have defined. I guess like the aura would and the strategy would really come into play. But you typically see people, not always, of course, but attracted to like the opposite definition in a way. Like you plug into each other, you fit together in that way. And then you kind of depend on each other in that way. But when there's a lot of similarity, it's like you both want to be doing the same things and then you miss each other or you, who's handling, like Jasmine, thinking about you, like, wow, we have all these kids now. Like, how do we manage this? What the hell are we going to do with all this now? I'm doing this. What are you going to be doing? But when I don't know if it's so much the aura is different, but like, do you and Mike have similar centers defined as well?
Yeah, we both have open heads. We both have open roots. We both have open or undefined solar plexus.
My parents had the same design too.
But he didn't have a defined heart. So that was actually kind of good because I could just kind of like bully you into doing what I want you to do because that's like really like I'd always be like, do I have to take it to an 11? I have to bring this to an 11 to like get a response out of this guy because. Yeah. And then he'd be like, oh, sorry, sorry. I'm coming back in. I'm reining it in. But I've had two relationships, Mike and my other boyfriend, they had undefined hearts. And then my last relationship, we both had defined hearts. And I'll tell you one thing. I thought at first that was better because it was less like.
I'm glad you're talking about this. I have commentary.
Yeah. It was less like I felt like not the projection, but the amplification in my like. Then the open heart stuff, people with undefined hearts was like way worse, you know, especially when I started dating this guy with a defined heart. But then when we started getting like two defined hearts and then we were like, how dare you? Like we were so chest bumpy and so wildly competitive and like always jockeying. Like, and I never really realized it until one of my friends said, like, you two are just in a constant competition for like, who's gonna win. It didn't matter what it was. Did it matter?
You're bringing up, such a good point here because my house is defined hearts. And I love that because I feel like it just keeps it all balanced. I don't know. And then when I zoom out with some family members, a lot of my family members have defined hearts. So whenever I'm doing like a holiday or people are getting together, it's a lot of that chesty energy. And you would think like definitely Derek and I can get unhealthy and really be not nice to each other. And when we were earlier young parents, you know, like, cause the hearts can crash into each other in a not really nice way. But I get the most angry when I feel an undefined heart is taking advantage of me and they're using me for my this or my that. And that can be something that really makes me snap. And I find that sometimes there'll be an undefined heart that's really grabby with me and needing something from me and needing me to do this. And it's definitely up to me to be like, okay, enough and set the boundary. But I always seem to let it go a little bit. It's like, I expect them not to treat me like that. But they're, you know, the undefined heart sometimes has these moments where they really like are feeling kind of like, I don't know if the word is low, but I just find they can be really hard on themselves unnecessarily and not give themselves enough credit. And it's like, if there's too much of me having to remind them of that and boost them of that, I get annoyed or something. And it's like, okay, I can't keep pumping you up. Now I don't want to do that, you know? And it can, so you'd think that that could plug in and be really helpful, but and like supportive, but I find that I can have challenge there sometimes. And I could definitely crash into other defined hearts too, but it's almost like I recognize right away when there's another defined heart and it's like, oh, okay, like you're familiar or something. And there isn't as much conflict as there is with an undefined heart. Like I've had some friendships in the past, like even being in my young 20s, where it's like, I feel like my friends will call me and they're spewing all these things to me. They're never asking me about me or something. And there's, he treats me like crap. And it's like, well, then leave. Like, get out of there then. I'm not going to keep saying this. You know what I mean? I don't have a lot of capacity for that, I guess. And I have to stretch,
but, yeah.
But I get frustrated with them when they don't see their own value too many times in a row. You know, it's like I can get angry. I can get angry of too much encouragement without them ingesting it or something. Well, and then again, on me, but.
Are you angry about them not ingesting it? Or are you angry that like, it's just one-sided? I mean, because that's the only way that it can be is one-sided. Like it doesn't really get to that type of dynamic, you know, like.
I get angry if I'm repeating myself. I don't like to repeat myself.
Yeah.
And if we're visiting the same thing over and over and I haven't felt like there's any learning or something, like that's what I mean by ingesting. Like if they haven't changed or healed that or had some new awareness around that, we keep coming up against that. I don't have a lot of capacity for that. You know, the heart's the heart. It's not a sacral. It's not a solar plexus. It's big. So I don't always have the capacity to be like endlessly encouraging. And I find that's when I can get burnt out too. I'm carrying something or carrying whatever. And it feels like it's not met on the other side.
Yeah. Well, it's like fruitless. Yeah. I don't really have that experience that much with my defined heart, but I do find myself, if I have to do that like long term, you know, like
that's
I can
what I
do
mean.
It. Yeah. Like I can do it in a short burst. I can do it where I'm needed. I feel like I have enough energy.
No problem.
To do that.
But that's how the heart works. It's like short little bursts. That's what I mean. No problem. But if it says it's like, it's not changing. I'm still doing it now. Now I'm losing the energy and capacity and to do that.
Yeah. And it can become like a thing that you require of me. And then when I'm not able to do it, then there's like this feeling, you know, and
totally.
I think that the feeling piece, that like ickiness is the part I don't like. Cause I kind of feel like, dude, I've been giving you this gift this whole time. Like, I don't know. It's not yours. You know, like I'm loaning it to you for a little while. So yeah, that can get hairy, but I don't have a lot of defined hearts around me.
Oh God, I'm surrounded. Yeah. I'm surrounded.
They think I'm bossy.
I mean, I can see how that is also like, yes, of course that's bossy and the defined heart can sometimes be too much to the undefined heart and just coming on too strong. And I understand all that. I think I just get, I want to say frustrated, but again, I don't think that's like quite the right word. When somebody consistently doesn't recognize their own value in a situation or what they have to offer their worth.
A dependency. I think that's what we don't like is when people are depending on our definition or something
and the
that they don't have.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt that with a projector boss who was really depending. Like she felt like she needed my sacral. And I'm looking at her like, you really don't. Like you really don't. But she thought she did. So that became very hard to handle. She just felt like nothing could happen unless I was there. And that's when it was bad. But when she wasn't thinking like that, then it was like a great collaboration because we were both bringing different things. But it was just that, when the other person thinks that they need something that you have, that's when it kind of gets dark.
Yeah, I'm going to have to reflect on that because I think I could probably, you know, definitely take advantage of the sacrals around. Do this for me. Get that for me. Can you get my glasses? Can you give me a glass of water? He did it like constantly sending people around. And when I notice my kid will do the same thing to Derek. And I'm like, don't talk to Derek like that. And I'm like, well, he gets it from me because I'm just bossing everybody around all the time. Like, it's me who has to change.
I never do that. My mom used to always do that when I was young, like make me get stuff. And then when my kid, like, I'd be like in my room, she'd go, call my name from far away. And I'd come trotting in and she'd be like, can you go get my purse? Can you go get me a glass of water? No, I cannot. But I don't ever do that to my kids.
AC, you were nodding through this. Did anybody send you to do stuff for you?
Yeah, my mom all the time. She's a generator. So annoying.
And you're the projector. What the heck? No, mom, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. So you're raised with two generators.
Well, they were probably training you up as a generator.
Yeah,
they were.
Two generators. Yes, two generators. And they're both Aquarius moons. My parents were born at the same time, but different dates and years.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. I think one of the most challenging dynamics are generator parents who have non-sacral kids.
Oh, I bet.
Because
absolutely.
The generator parents like have this expectation of the kids and like the kids get exhausted. Like,
oh yeah.
Like just going to school.
So tired.
Just going to school is a huge event for a sacral and a non-sacral, but you'll notice they process the day differently after. There could be a lot of nourishing things happening in the school system for non-sacrals, but it's just like, you're, oh God, it's just such a different experience. And and the parents that I've worked with, the generator parents do have to really be like, okay, I have to really understand my kid here because they're always tired or they can't do it. And the generator parent wants to go, 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 go. And you'll see the kids getting sick. They'll have colds. They'll be chronically burnt out or whatever. And they just can't catch a break, you know, or have time to not do anything.
Yeah. My manifestor and projector come home from school every day, literally like lay down. Like
that was me.
Lay on the floor. One will like lay on the couch. And then they're just like, oh my God. Vivi comes home, little generator. And she's like, okay, getting a snack. I'm like taking a little break, calling people up. Well, what are we doing next? Like, she's like on it and she'll go. She could like, if it's a Friday night, like she'll literally be like, I'm riding my bike to so-and-so's. And like, I'm spending the night and I'm doing this tomorrow. She'll have an entire itinerary. George and Charlie will literally be like, if one person calls me, like, I don't live here. Like, don't tell anybody. I'm sleeping till 1 o'clock tomorrow. I people too hard all week.
Yeah. That was me. AC, what was school like for you? Are you tired after?
Oh my God. Oh, school was just so, like I said, school was a lot, and then I would come home to my grandmother's house, but that was okay because my grandmother, you know, she had a daycare, so there'll be like kids and babies there, so that was fun. But then if my cousins were over, it would just be too much. Like, I just want to go home and be in my own space, in my own room. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to eat the food that my grandmother made for me, and then my parents would pick me up, and then I would go home. I would have to do homework, which I hated that.
It was just
very exhausting. The summertime was fun.
I'd sleep till 3 in the summer though. I don't have to get up.
I couldn't sleep till that late, but I would, you know, just more relaxed. But then when my cousins came around, it was just a lot of energy just being dispersed and having to talk to people, having to interact with people. I was usually the person who's like, oh, you don't want to play? No, I don't.
No, thank you.
I want to go inside.
Oh, yeah. Georgia would have play dates and I would find her. Like, people would be at our house and then I'd be like, where'd she go? She'd be in her bed in the top bunk reading a book. There'd be like 4 kids over. She's like, I just need some downtime. Like, I just need to be alone.
Oh, we put a pool in when I was like a preteen. And I remember kind of coming home from high school and just going in the pool. Like, I just got to give it to the water. I just like float in the pool. Like, oh my God, I can't do anything. But then I would do that because I would have to like go to work after.
Yeah.
Like go serve or something or cook wings for wing night or some shit. Or I was a dance choreographer for a bit. Again, everything had to have an intention. I can't just dance. Like, let me choreograph this dance. And I needed to have like a quick reset. And now just thinking like a Shores kid, just I'll go in the pool for a second, just like liquefy and then come back. I'm telling you all this, but also I was sick and dying of cancer and didn't know for my whole high school experience. So I never really knew if it was just like something like that. Now, as I'm older, it's like, actually, you're a non-sacral and you had a little dinky, tiny little motor. And it might've just been how you were. It might not have been so much of your sickness or your, you know.
Yeah.
You might've just been a tired manifestor kid surrounded by a school system and kids all a day and stimulated. And it's just a lot.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
This was a 6-2 Studio production. Find us at six-two.studio for all your creative sound needs.